Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Valley Business Radio, spotlighting the Valley's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Valley Business Radio, where we tell the stories that traditional media tends to ignore and help connect you to the right people. I'm your host, Dr. Adrian McIntyre, and I'm joined in the studio today. We have a full house, and this is going to be a fun session. The Girl Scouts are in the studio today, and we're going to hear a lot about their organization, about their work, and about the business of building girls, go-getters, innovators, risk-takers, leaders. Susan DeQuellew, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And also Emmy Edwards, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
And Elizabeth Laughlin, thank you for joining us too.
No problem.
Susan, give us a little introduction to the Girl Scouts. On the one hand, it's the organization everybody already thinks they know about. On the other hand, there's probably a lot more to the story. Tell us about the Girl Scouts.
So the Girl Scouts were actually founded in 1912, so over 100 years ago. And here we are. There are not very many organizations that can say that they're 100 years old. It was founded in Savannah, Georgia, by a woman named Juliet Gordon Lowe. So think about this. This is before women even had a chance to vote, right? And she really felt that girls needed to get out of the house. They needed to learn a lot of things. They needed to go outside. They needed to climb mountains. They needed to learn how to do first aid. And she started a troop with her niece. That was the first troop. The second troop was a group of African-American girls in Savannah, Georgia. So think about how controversial that must have been. So fast forward. We now have about 2 million girls across the United States that are Girl Scouts. It's open to girls from kindergarten through senior in high school. It's really a program that's designed to help girls learn to empower themselves, to build their courage, to build their sense of self, to be able to explore the world, to go outside, and thrive.
Now, you were a Girl Scout.
I was.
Tell us a little bit about your experience and how that leads to the role you have today.
So, Girl Scout, I started, that was even before there were daisies. I'm kind of dating myself, but I was a Brownie. I was a Girl Scout all the way up through my senior year in high school. It wasn't cool to be a Girl Scout in high school then. It's not cool to be a Girl Scout in high school now, but I will tell you that the thing that keeps girls in Girl Scouting is all the amazing opportunities that they have that they wouldn't have otherwise. And so I spent a summer in Philadelphia at Moore College of Art because of the Girl Scouts. I learned how to do ice boat racing because of Girl Scouts. It was a great experience. When I had children, I became a Girl Scout leader. We lived overseas, so I was involved in the overseas Girl Scout troop. And so when I came back to this country and this position opened up, it just seemed like a natural for me.
And what position is that?
So I'm the marketing director.
Fabulous. Now, Elizabeth, you are a teen, you are a high school student, and you are also a 2019 Gold Award recipient. First of all, is that true? Is it not cool to be a Girl Scout?
Well, it kind of is, because there are a very limited amount of Girl Scouts overall in high school, and to be the one who actually has the Girl Scout uniform and the Girl Scout cookie boxes all around school it's kind of something that people are like, oh, you're just a Girl Scout. Well, I guess that means you're all positivity and that's all you do.
And you're so goody-goody, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just that's all we are. We're just goody-goody and we just sell cookies.
And there's much more to the story. And this is something I'm really interested to learn, not only for myself, but I'm sure members in our audience don't realize. Talk about the Girl Scouts beyond the cookie sales. We'll talk about the cookie sales and clarify some things about that. But what else goes on that makes it such an important part of your life?
Well, it's almost like its own community, because you have girls, like Susan said, all the way from daisies to I'm an ambassador. So you start very young in elementary school, and now I'm in high school. And so you go all the way through growing up with the same sets of girls, and you're learning all these skills together about building relationships, community service, selling cookies is a big part of it. But you do have to learn how to work together with your community in and out of Girl Scouts.
Now, Emmy Edwards, you're a board member with the Girl Scouts Arizona Cactus Pine Council. What's your history with the organization, and what are you doing now?
Yeah, sure. So I joined Girl Scouts when I was about 5 years old. And then fast forward to high school, I actually was a girl board member. And now, I don't know, 5-6 years later, I'm actually on the board of directors. And I've been on the board of directors for 2 years now.
And your mother played a role in the Girl Scouts as well. What was her story?
So my mother and my father, actually, my mom was my troop leader. And my father actually was on the board of directors before me for 25 years. He just termed off about, well, two years ago now. And then I came on.
Now, I'm fascinated with something as I was preparing for the show and reading the notes y'all sent, to learn that the Girl Scouts plays such an important role, not just in the development of young women as individuals, but also as business leaders. More than half of female business leaders are Girl Scout alums. 4 of the 6 current female governors are Girl Scout alums. All of Arizona's female governors are Girl Scout alums. What is going on here that makes this such a wonderful training ground for women business leaders? Susan?
Well, I think there are a lot of things. I think that Girl Scouts really helps girls develop their self-confidence. And when they work on completing projects like your Gold Award, I mean, it's such a huge project to do. But once you've jumped over that hurdle, I mean, there's so much confidence in that. I think that's one thing. I think that there's a lot of teamwork involved in Girl Scouting, which to be a leader, you've got to be able to work on a team. Talking to others, I think in the cookie sale, you've got to talk to strangers. You've got to make a sale. You've got to be persuasive. Those are all really business skills that, you know, that girls have. And so this program really does, I think, really help girls find their potential, find their strengths, and so that they can actually live those strengths.
I think it's so important. I think it's such a critical role. You know, it's obviously, I don't have experience growing up as a young girl, but I am aware of the dynamics that shape people's roles in their lives, their outlook is shaped early on in life. Can you talk a little bit about the way that tends to go and how the Girl Scouts plays a role in making it go differently for a young girl, Emmy?
Sure. So I think the first thing is, especially when you're growing up and you're in your teen years and you're in a troop full of other girls, you learn to have respect for each other and for adults. And I think you're given so many different opportunities. Myself, especially as a Girl Scout, I did everything from, you know, obviously selling cookies and working on the business aspect, but also the outdoor piece, right? So I think we were 14 when we backpacked up Half Dome. So, I mean, just an experience like that at that age, and you're just learning about how to interact with others, how to be in nature. So it really just gives you this wide variety of opportunities that I don't know what other organization is going to give you all of that, and with the same group of people. So kind of a cool thing. My best friend, Jenna, I met her in Girl Scouts, and now she's my maid of honor at my wedding. So you're just forming these lifelong relationships, and it's really special.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, I'm struck by the fact that no child is born with an inherent lack of confidence. No child is born with an inherent disinclination to pursue math and science, right? These things are learned, mm-hmm. and they're learned in particular by girls in the way that the system has traditionally viewed what girls are supposed to do and what boys are supposed to do. And I'm struck by how much the history of Girl Scouts is, in a way, trying to work against those baked-in biases in not just society, but in education. Elizabeth, can you talk a little bit about that from your own experience? What's it been like for you to have this organization part of your young adulthood?
Well, it's really big in helping me decide almost how I've pursued different choices and making different decisions in my life. Because from the beginning, I've had to see things from an angle that affects me and the other members in my troop, and how I need to manage my time to make it work with everything that I do outside of school, and also Girl Scouts on top of that. For me, it was mostly organizing and learning how to help other girls and help myself grow and become bigger by working through different issues like customer service or even just in a troop working to overcome challenges as individuals together and supporting each other was really big for me.
So if I may, one of the things that Girl Scouts gives girls is that it is an all-girl environment. So it's really a very safe place for girls to try new things and fail safely and try again. So that idea of, you know, building up your persistence and being able to overcome things and know you can overcome things. You know, in our general world, I mean, women are still considered second class. I mean, I don't care what people say. And there's so many barriers. And so in Girl Scouts, girls have to do everything. Girls have to build a fire. Girls have to carry the packs. Girls have to move the bricks. Girls have to, you know, shape the boxes. And girls can do it all. And they get that real sense of, I can do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reminded of the Rosie the Riveter poster and the whole idea that, right. I mean, listen, the idea that women are less capable is an inherently it does a disservice to all of us, because it's simply not true. The facts are contrary to that, but that continues to be not just a narrative in certain circles, but also I think in some ways, and this is the most troubling part of that, it becomes something that is internalized at an early age. And so, you know, the way that Girl Scouts is empowering young girls to discover their own capabilities is exciting. How has that played out for you, Susan, in your own career? I mean, you've gone on, you know, from your early experiences with Girl Scouts, you've gone on around the world, you've served the board of St. Vincent de Paul. You know, there's a lot of ways in which your early seeds have sprouted. Do you want to share a little bit about that journey?
That's really interesting. I think there's part of me that's an adventurer, and I think that was part of Girl Scouting. You know, being able to go outside and go camping. I grew up in the Midwest in the forests, and I loved it. I just loved being outside. And I came from a family where, you know, my mother would never set foot in a sleeping bag. I mean, so I would not have had that experience. And I think that the idea of being involved in your community and trying to see what the problems are and try to overcome them. I mean, St. Vincent de Paul is doing amazing work here. I mean, helping the working poor and the homeless. They're the largest St. Vincent de Paul actually in the world. So I think it gives you a sense of this is your community and you can make it better, and you step forward as opposed to stepping back.
Yes, I think that's critical. Emmy, talk to us a little bit about your own professional journey. You got your start early on in the Girl Scouts, but then how is that showing up now in the work you're doing?
So I know Susan talked a bit about how Girl Scouts instills confidence in young girls, and I think that that's a huge piece no matter which career path you decide to take. So I'm a digital strategist at Lavage. It's an advertising agency here in the Valley, and every day I'm interacting with clients and working with other teams within the agency. So obviously you have to be sure of yourself and confident and ready to take on whatever challenges come your way. I think you learn that very early on in Girl Scouts, whether you're working on a project at your home with your team, or like I said, you're out in nature facing different natural challenges. So I think that that's, you know, one of the biggest pieces that Girl Scouts gave me was definitely that confidence. And I've seen that continue to grow as I serve on the board and work with other board members. We have an amazing board of directors, and it's really just a great group of people.
Let's talk a little bit about the cookie sales. That's the thing that so many people associate with Girl Scouts. Talk a little bit about the reality of the cookies and where the money goes, and how you hinted before we came on the air that there's some misconceptions about it. Let's clear that up once and for all. What's the story with the cookies?
So let me just tell you a story. Treasurer Kimberly Yee, who was just elected, she's our first female state treasurer. She was a Girl Scout. She had some Girl Scouts down to tour her office 2 weeks ago, and she was talking to them about her cookie sale experience and how going door to door, talking to people, selling them cookies, learning to hear no and keep asking. You know, you hear three no's and then you know it's really no. But she talked about how that had really helped in her campaigning. So, you know, she was a representative, a senator, now she's the treasurer. She said, so going door to door and asking for votes, that's easy for me because I sold cookies. And I've heard this from other people as well, that there's just so much that you learn from cookies. So it's not the cookie that you're eating. When you buy a box of cookies, you're actually allowing a girl to develop some really crucial skills that they'll have for their whole life. Talking to people is just one of them.
Yeah, for sure. Now, this is a six-week cookie season every year, right? And it's currently happening. Girl Scouts in Arizona are part of this program now through March 3rd. There's more than 11,000 girls in central and northern Arizona walking around neighborhoods, setting up booths in front of local stores. I mean, this is where most of the public sees the Girl Scouts, but there are also other ways in which the organization shows up in communities. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of that and how folks might also experience the Girl Scouts in the community?
So all of the money that the girls receive, all of that money stays within our council. And so girls, you know, receive some proceeds. The troops earn money. The council, and we use our money for our camps, for our programs, for supporting our volunteers. So that's an important piece, that it's staying here. So when you buy a box of cookies, you're really supporting the girls in your community. One of the things that the girls do with their money is fund their service projects. The younger girls are usually really interested in animals and pets. And so they may go into an animal shelter and use their funds to make dog biscuits or something. So a lot of the money is actually being plowed back into the community to make the community better. Of course, the troops also will, you know, use their money for a field trip or a day trip or some other thing. But, you know, there's this really philanthropic spirit to Girl Scouting that starts at a very young age.
Yeah. Emmy, what are some of the projects that you're most proud of? Some of the things that you look back on, either in your own experiences with the Girl Scouts or in your current role as a board member, what really speaks to you?
So I think growing up, probably one of my favorite projects was we did a cleanup trip around the Grand Canyon area. And we were a bit younger, but I think that was the first time that we went out of our city and really did something that was for the bigger picture. And I know we'll talk a little bit about, Elizabeth, your goal project and kind of what you're doing. But like Susan said, something that's so important is that to get the Gold Award, you're doing a sustainable project. So it's putting the Girl Scouts, and specifically those girls, in the mindset that they have to have a bigger impact on the community than just themselves. And I mean, if that's not amazing, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Gold Award. This is a big deal, right? Elizabeth, talk about your recipient of the Gold Award 2019, and there's a project, right? So unpack this for us. I've never heard of this before, so explain how it all works and what you did, what you created.
Yeah. So the project, you have to come up with an idea, because it has to be something that can last beyond just you working on it. You have to be able to make it last through the people that will see it, through the community, through the environment. And then you have an initial interview where you actually meet with committee members and you go over it. You go through the paperwork and you make sure you have everything in order. And then you start the project, and it's almost agonizing because you have all of this work. But then for me, it wasn't as hard because I realized that it was something that I truly enjoyed talking about. For me, it's my website that I made. It's teenwealth.org. And it's all about teens recognizing their own value. And so for me to start that, I continued, and you just have to almost grow your project in a way that is big enough that you can see it being sustainable. So for me, that was adding a counter to the bottom of my website. But for others, it can be simply adding a plaque or talking to other communities about it. And then after you've finished at least 80 hours, the minimum is 80 hours to spend on your project for your Gold Award. So once you've completed and logged and put the dates and the hours and details about what exactly you did, then you complete all of the paperwork. There's a whole lot of paperwork. But after you get through all the paperwork, you go to a final interview,
in that final interview, you sit down with some of the same committee members, and you just get to talk about everything you've done. And so for me, that was talking about my website and how I managed to create a place where teens could access resources to get the help they need so they feel like life is worth living. So they can actually access, for me, it was creating buttons on the very first page so that they can immediately click to dial Teen Lifeline or dial Crisis Text Line, and to just give them access to the resources they need at the tip of their fingers, which is really hard for teens my age to feel like they're able to actually talk to someone. So it was really big to have like a QR code and a website and just a place where they can turn without having to take the biggest jump of their lives. For some teens, it feels like that, like their lives are at risk.
Emily, what were you seeing in the community that made you consider going in this direction?
Well, it was really my school. I go to Chaparral High School, and there have been multiple deaths related to drug and alcohol substance abuse, and also health and mental illness. All three of those things are really big for me because I've seen personally how it affects families, it affects the community, and it affects everyone who's even met some person. And to know that they're not there the next day because they didn't have someone to talk to, they didn't feel like they had someone to talk to, it hit me hard because there's a lot of people that I care about and I wouldn't want them to feel like that. And I wanted them to have a place where they could go to find the confidence they needed to stay alive.
So how do people know about your website?
Well, I have my QR code, which is something where you can actually click on a camera and it'll immediately go to the website. I've talked to a lot of people in person about it. I've also, if you just look it up, it's there. That's the beauty. That's my favorite part of it, because you just search it up and it's there. It's just automatic. There's already been 600 people. We just reached 600 and so far.
That's marvelous. You know, it's such an important thing because we live in a world where technology has allowed us to be more connected than ever before. And yet at the same time, people are more isolated than ever.
Yeah, the most disconnected than ever before.
And so for you to take on a project where you use technology to give people a way to get the help that they need, to simply raise their hand and say, I'm hurting or I'm struggling with something. So talk about the name for a minute, teenwealth.org. Such an interesting concept because it's not only about money. You're talking about value.
No. Yeah, the big thing is, you see wealth as something, as a possession or something you really care about and that has value in your life. So by naming it teenwealth.org, I'm saying that, well, the teens are the value. It's not what they do. It's not just who they are in a moment. It's the teen themselves that's the value. And to help provide them with their own community where they can easily find the support that they need, that was my whole goal, to create somewhere where teens could actually find value for their life, where they could find the place to go to for seeing that value face on.
That's so impressive.
Yeah, that is really impressive. I was just even thinking as a whole, I mean, are you 17?
Yeah, I'm 16.
Okay, so she's 16. She had an idea, she planned it, and then she executed it. I mean, if I was a business owner, can you work for me?
So what did you have to learn to do this? Did you have to learn how to set up a website?
Oh, yes. Okay. There were many hours for my website put into figuring out how to set it up. Because for technology, it's obviously a big challenge to sort of translate things almost. That's sort of coding, I guess. So you have to go from like different pages to different pages to the actual website to see what's behind it and what it'll actually look like and how it'll actually appear. It's a very difficult concept to see, like, this is what I put down, but this is what it's showing. Why? And so finding out, realizing, and working through all of those issues is what really helped me strive and make it a better and make it look like what it is today, really.
And how did you decide on content?
Well, for me, it was almost just personal experience, but also the experience others have gone through that I know. So it's not just my content on there. There's also articles I've had friends write, I've had acquaintances write, there's advice from counselors and from drug and abuse counselors even.
So you went out and talked to community yes. members? Tell us about that.
So I planned many meetings. Some people I haven't even met yet, and we're still connecting and emailing, and the programs I've gone to. So you have to, well, to research a topic as broad as teen mental health and teen wellness, you have to be able to keep your mind open to the different ways that it can go. So you can talk about mental health, you can talk about physical health, you can talk about so many different aspects that a teen, that matter in a teen's life. So for my website, I had to organize it into school and then mental health. And then right now it says life, but really by life, I mean life after college, life during college, any period of time that you see outside of school and mental health. You really have to see how the different aspects of a teen life can, different aspects of a teen can affect what they think on a daily. So that's why I wanted to really show how there are multiple aspects to a teen that can be affected and that they can be hurt by such a simple day-by-day interaction and the different steps that teens should learn how to take regardless of what that topic is.
So the Gold Award is the most prestigious award in Girl Scouting. It sounds like it's well-deserved. This yes. is an extraordinary project. And it's not as well known. Why do you think it is that, for example, when compared to the Boy Scouts Eagle Scout merit, the Girl Scouts Gold Award is not perhaps as well known? What are the differences and what's significant about Elizabeth's accomplishment?
Well, I think that one of the things that the Eagle Scout Award has been around forever, and it's always been called Eagle Scout. And it's a rank, actually. It's not an award. It's a rank. The Gold Award has gone by a number of different names over the 100-plus years. And I think that's been a problem because when you change names, people, you know, don't understand the history. So it's been First Class. It's been Golden Eagle. And I think now, I think Gold Award is going to stay. but the other thing is, I think that women don't brag about their accomplishments. I mean, I meet men today that say, when I tell them I'm a Girl Scout, I earned my Eagle Scout Award. Now, when I meet a Boy Scout or someone that was a Boy Scout, I don't say to them, oh, I earned my Gold Award. I just don't think we do that. But, you know, men are much more self-promoting. So that's my personal opinion.
Sure. Well, there's data that backs that up. There was a fascinating study that was done on undergraduates. This was probably 20 years ago, when writing papers in college, the male students tended to go out on a limb more and make arguments just based on the fact that they thought it was logical and sounded good. And the female undergraduate students were much more careful to couch their argument in the citations and the footnotes and the sources and hedge. Well, it may be and it may not. And again, those gendered ways of thinking and acting in the world didn't start in college. They started much earlier on. And so in a way, Girl Scouts, it seems to me from the outside, is playing a critical role in helping to undo some of this nonsense and really get us to a place where people are pursuing the opportunities that are the right match for them, regardless of any of their circumstances in life. Now, there's more here in Arizona, anyway, to the cookie sales than just the cookies. We've also got this 6th annual Girl Scout Cookie Dessert Challenge that involves restaurants and chefs and things like that. What's the story with that?
Oh, this is so much fun, I think. And it really brings more people into the cookie sale. Some of the Arizona restaurants agree to participate, and they choose a cookie flavor, and they create a special dessert that they feature on their menu for the month of February and promote it. And they then donate back proceeds to the Girl Scouts. So it's really a win-win-win. I mean, they're doing a good deed in many ways. And hopefully, when people taste their wonderful dessert, they might just you know, decide that they're going to buy a few extra boxes of cookies to try to make that dessert at home.
I love that. It's a very creative way to build partnerships between the organization and the community and the consumers
right.
as well.
Right.
I haven't personally tried any of these desserts, but they sound phenomenal. I should get out and see that. Have you been?
There's 15 restaurants that are participating this year. And yeah, there's some really creative desserts out there.
All using a one particular type of cookie.
Right. And whatever else. But
yeah, sure.
Yes, I mean, but that's the cookie is
the basis. Some
sugar
and cream and things
probably,
that you make desserts
yes.
with.
They're all really good. So far, I've been to Zuzu at Hotel Valley Ho, which that was amazing. It was a Samoa dessert. And then at Aioli Burgers. And they were really good. And all, for the board of directors, we kind of have a competition going. So whatever board member can go to the most restaurants wins. So really trying to win.
I love that. As we begin to wrap up our conversation together, let's talk about some of the things folks need to know that they might not know. If you're the parent of a young girl and you're considering possibly getting them involved in Girl Scouts, what's your first step? Where do you go? How do you begin to understand the opportunities available for your child?
Well, we also have a website, and it's girlscoutsaz.org. And so that would be a great place to start with a lot of, you know, there's a lot of information there. One of the things that we offer is, you know, if financially, if it's $25 to be a member, but for some families, that may not be what they really have or want to be doing. So, you know, we offer scholarships. We offer scholarships for our Girl Scout camps. We run four different camps in the summer. And we believe that it's really life-changing for a girl to have an outdoor experience. And so, you know, if families have to pay the deposit, but we offer scholarships for that as well. So money should never be a barrier to being a Girl Scout. We want every girl to have the opportunity to be a Girl Scout.
You know, the outdoor aspect of it, I think, is also really important. There's just so many things that it's like the thing, but this is also one of the primary things. I mean, children in general are not spending as much time outdoors, and certainly in an empowering environment where they are learning skills and also discovering their own capabilities, their own talents, their own unique ways of being in the world. That seems like a critical thing. As we begin to wind up our conversation, Elizabeth, what would you say has been some of your top takeaways? Obviously, you're still in the middle of this. Well, before I even ask you about top things, what's next for you? So here you are, you're 16, you're a junior in high school, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you've got that ahead of you, but how is this going to play a role in the future that you see for yourself?
Well, for me, Girl Scouts has been a tremendous part of my life. And well, I plan to continue it first off by continuing my website through just adding more, because I want to expand actually into making it over this whole state so that more people are aware of it. So it's more of the marketing aspect actually of it, which is going to be easier for me. It's like the after, it's like the easy part of it, because now all I need to do is more just improve and add on to it. And beyond my project, I am obviously, I want to do more. So I want to go to college, and I want to pursue a business degree and a nursing degree and just different aspects that almost directly coordinate to my Gold Award. Like the health aspect and then the organization aspect have really played a big role for me. Yeah.
That's marvelous. Elizabeth Laughlin, your website is teenwealth.org, something that everyone should know about. Sounds like a fabulous resource. Emmy Edwards, board member with the Girl Scouts Arizona Cactus Pine Council. What are you excited about for the future of the organization? What do you see coming that folks should really know about?
So I think the thing I'm most excited about is just to keep growing the organization, but also just to keep seeing girls out, and especially during cookie season. I was just thinking of this memory that I had from the other day. So on the board, I mean, and everyone that is incorporated with the Girl Scouts, it's kind of an unsaid rule. Whenever you see a girl selling cookies, you go buy the cookies. So I was walking outside of Ashes and I saw these girls selling cookies, and this man went up to him and he was like, "I don't have any cash." And this girl, probably, I don't know, maybe, you know, 10 or 11, "Oh, don't worry, we take credit cards."
And it just, I just loved how quick she was. You know, she just got it. She's on a mission. So I think to just continue to see the profound effect that Girl Scouts has on young girls and what women like Elizabeth are going to do in the future.
That's fabulous. Thank you very much for being here, Emmy Edwards. Susan DeQuellew, let's bring this conversation to a close by reflecting a little bit more on your experience. You know, you've served the Valley in so many different ways over the years, as past president of the Public Relations Society of America, Phoenix, the Western District Conference, et cetera. Like, there's a lot of ways in which you have been involved in the mentoring and the development of young professionals, seasoned professionals, et cetera. What role do you see Girl Scouts continuing to play in your life, and what are you excited about for the future?
Well, I have to really echo Emmy. It is so exciting to be with these young women because they are so incredible. They're doing so many wonderful things, and they're just starting their life. And you know, and then we have Kimberly Yee, our treasurer, right? She started as a Girl Scout. I mean, these women are going to be going places. These are our future leaders. And I am so delighted that I can play a very small role, you know, in helping girls really become empowered and believe in their power.
And there's gaps, right? As they grow, as they develop, they get out into a world that is less designed for their empowerment than the Girl Scouts organization. What are some of the things you're currently working to address? What are some of the things that we still need to elevate our collective efforts to level those playing fields?
Well, you know, we have several emphases in our program. One is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. I mean, those fields, there's just a handful of women. And so there's no reason why women can't, you know, succeed in those fields. But oftentimes, they don't have confidence in their abilities to do math. And we can all do math. So that's a big push. Entrepreneurship, which really is the cookie program. I mean, you're learning all those business skills. That's going to serve them really well. And when you go outdoors and you learn how to climb a mountain, you learn how powerful your body is. And understanding how powerful your body is another way of really gaining self-confidence. So it's really all about empowering girls to be their best selves.
I love it. The Girl Scouts is in the business of building girls, G period, I period, R period, L period, go-getters, innovators, risk-takers, and leaders. That's a great branding slogan.
Isn't that great?
It is super great. And I'm thrilled that you all joined us in the studio today. Susan DeQuellew from the Arizona Cactus Pine Council, Emmy Edwards, also a board member, the Arizona Cactus Pine Council, and Elizabeth Laughlin, the 2019 Gold Award recipient, with her website, teenwealth.org. Thank you all for joining us in the studio today.
It's been a pleasure.
For all of us here at Business Radio X, this is Dr. Adrian McIntyre, and we'll see you next time on Valley Business Radio.